God willing, what I'd like to begin is a series of shirim on what probably be among the most important halachos and relevant halachos to family life for yourselves in the future. And that is warming up food on Shabbos. It's a weekly event, an enjoyable event, hopefully, and it's good for, it's enjoyable for the family, it's enjoyable for other people too. But that is only if you know what you're doing. I was the unfortunate recipient of an experience that taught me that sometimes it could be an unpleasant experience. So my wife and I, so right when we were first married, we of course were invited out to other people's homes, and we didn't have so much of an opportunity to make our own Shabbos, but we were looking forward to the time when we would make our own Shabbos and host some other people. Finally, the time came. And then it dawned on me that although I had always experienced warm food on Shabbos, I'd never actually done it myself. Moreover, although I had learned Hilchos Shabbos in many different venues and gone through the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan and looked at the Shmir Shabbos, what do you do? Like, there are a lot of different opinions out there. So I wasn't sure exactly what to do. So I called up a very good friend of mine who was a few years older than me. He was a tremendous Talmid Chacham today, a major Rosh Yeshiva in the United States. And I asked him for advice and counsel about how to warm up the food properly on Shabbos so we can have some people and, you know, give them some good food. So he wasn't married at the time, which was unfortunate because he had no experience in the matter. And he gave us some svaras, what he thought we should do. We followed his advice to the T. And the food that we were going to serve our company on Shabbos Day was completely spoiled. It was a very embarrassing Shabbos. And I remember resolving then and there that, you know, this cannot go on. We have to learn this properly. Halacha lemaisa. You know, totally lemaisa. You know, it's not just halacha, but halacha lemaisa, what to do. So this year is definitely the fruit of that experience. We know that there are 39 avos malachos on Shabbos. The first 11 malachos are devoted to the siddur depas, the seder of making the bread on Shabbos. There's a machlokus between the Bavli and Yisham. I think we maybe discussed this. The Bavli says that the siddur depas is really a misnomer. It doesn't really refer to the seder of making bread, but rather it's the seder of making the samamonim, the different dyes for the Mishkan. It happens to be analogous and parallel to the seder of making bread, but really it was for making the dyes for the Mishkan. The Yerushalmi, on the other hand, takes it literally and says that no, the siddur depas is for making the lechem haponim. So that's a famous debate between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. But in any event, the first 11 malachos are called the siddur depas, devoted to the process of making dyes of bread. But either way, it does involve the process of making bread from the very beginning of plowing a field to planting all the way to harvesting to ultimately kneading the dough and baking the food, which is the 11th malacha. The 11th malacha, the very last of the Siddur of the Pas, is the baking of the dye or the bread. The Bavli points out that Ofe, Malachas Ofe, which is the 11th Malacha, also can be called Malachas Bishul. Bishul is the same thing, so whether you call it baking or Bishul, it means the same thing in terms of a Malacha, still the same Doraisa violation. Bishul, though, has a different meaning than Ofe. Ofe means baking, pastries, baking bread. Bishul means to cook through the medium of water. It's a very important understanding. The Bishul specifically refers to cooking through the medium of water. The Yerushalmi adds on two other methods of cooking, which are considered a violation of Malachas Ofa and Bishul, and they are Tigun, which is frying, cooking through the medium of frying through oil, and Sli, which is roasting. Okay, so those are the four classic methods of cooking. They are Ofa, Bishul, Tigun, and Sli. Now, in terms of the actual food that's subject to Bishul, so it's important to know that in terms of items subject to Bishul, it's actually both food and non-food. both the Gemara and the Rishonim point out the halacha that one can violate bishul min haTorah with metal. If one cooks metal and makes it hot enough that it's now malleable, bendable, so that this raw material, this raw product, can now be manipulated by a person, so now they violated bishul with regard to non-food. We're not going to be spending so much time on that topic, but you should know that it's there. Yeah.
What about metal beds? Start off malleable.
So I guess if the heat would do something to it to make it, now that you could do, you know, now you're hardening. You know, if it's malleable by heating it, you're making it hard, so that, and that's the way to use it, then that would also be bishul. No, it's cooking in such a way that you're affecting it to a beneficial, in a beneficial way for human use. With regard to food, so there's a big range of types of food. The classic type of food that would be subject to bishul, whether it's liquids or not, or solids, is food that raw could not be eaten. Let's say, you know, people don't enjoy it that way. Raw potato, raw meat. People typically don't eat this eat food in such a state. So clearly everyone agrees that when you would cook raw potato or raw meat, that you violate bishul. That's clear. You took something that was not usable and made it usable. But on the other hand, if you, let's say you would take an apple, which is perfectly edible raw, and you bake it, make a baked apple, so maybe one would think, oh, that maybe that should be bishul. So the answer is no. We also agree that that is considered bishul min haTorah. It's bishul min haTorah doesn't just mean converting something from non-edible to edible, but it even means improving it in a new way. Where the two interesting cases of bishul are what happens if you would cook something and ruin it. For example, let's say you take a watermelon and boil it or bake it in your oven. I think most people don't really look forward to baked watermelon, if I have people's, you know, culinary tastes correct. I think that that's considered mekalkel. There's a kashitas yachid that it shouldn't be osur at all, but we assume that it's an issur d'rabanan. The other interesting case is, what about water? Water, when you cook up water, there's no real chemical change, at least nothing that stays. The second when it cools down, it goes back to the same state. And even chemically, in terms of it's H2O before, while you're cooking, H2O during the cooking, unless it evaporates. But if you're breaking up the bonds, then it's not there. But the water itself, when it gets hot, remains the same, which is exciting, the water molecules. Although someone pointed out to me that there are changes in some of the ions or something. So maybe that should affect it. But anyway, there's an interesting discussion there. Maybe you shouldn't say there's bishul d'oraisa by water. The Achronim have an interesting discussion about it, that maybe you're purifying the water, that it just tastes better when it's hot. Various rationales that are given. But in the end, the bottom line is that that's considered, that it does taste better. The fact that it's purifying it is considered enough of rationale for us to assume that there is bishul d'oraisa with regard to water as well. So basically, there is bishul by non-foods and by foods, whether the foods are solids or liquids. In terms of the types of heat sources that can cause bishul, So fire obviously is bishul, and whether that fire is sourced from is fueled by wood, whether it's fueled by gas or oil, it's irrelevant. That fire is considered to be mevashel min haTorah. On the other end of the spectrum, there's something called bishul b'chama, cooking in the sun. So cooking in the sun is considered mutter. The Gemara says bishul b'chama is mutter. Why? So that's not explicated, but the Achronim basically debate this point. Some say that the reason why it's mutter is because it was not in the Mishkan. It's so removed from the model of Mishkan. You know, Mishkan is the paradigm for all the malachos, and since bishul b'chama was something that was completely removed from that paradigm, So bishul b'chama is mutter. The other approach in Achronim is that Bishul B'chama is considered a shinui muvak. It's a dramatic change and a dramatic alteration in the normal method of cooking, and therefore it's considered mutter. The nafka mina between these two approaches is, let's say Bishul B'chama becomes normal. Let's say there is an energy crisis to the point that we're no longer using electricity, and everyone begins to cook in the sun. Let's say. So,